Okay, welcome back from the coffee break. Thank you. At this point, we're moving into the 11 to 11:30 block. We have conversations with NomCom, and we've got Adam Peake and Jacqueline Morris. And I remembered, and I knew that as soon as I started, I'd forget because I've known her for too many years. But anyhow, both from the NomCom, basically to, well, I guess I'll turn over the floor to them to tell us what it's to.
Introduce ourselves to note that I am the incoming nominating committee chair, so I do not have any formal role at this meeting. The nominating committee chair is still Wolfgang Kleinwächter for 2010. So what I'm here to do is to talk about sort of administrative matters, if you like. We're not making decisions here. And to try and listen to you, what do you think the nominating committees should be doing this year? What are the needs of ICANN in terms of the candidates that we should be looking for? And to ask your help in seeking candidates, because as we build a pool of candidates, you know, that we're selecting from, the outcome is only really as good as the input in that sense. And we do need your help in terms of candidates. You may have comments and questions about how we operate. The nominating committee is, well, let's see if we can have a look at it on that slide. I think you all know what it is. We select a certain amount of the ICANN leadership, and very importantly, over a period of a three-year cycle, we select eight voting members of the 15 voting members on the ICANN board. I think if you think about ICANN's not-for-profit status under California law, this is an extremely important part of how ICANN is independent of the industry that it effectively is regulating and making rules for. So the nominating committee plays an important role over this three-year cycle. We are also, of course, appointing members of the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the ALAC. And I think it's very important not to forget that, you know, these are the bodies that make the policy that the board should be listening to. So we're not in any way trying to diminish the importance of that selection process. So please, let's not just focus on the directors. The positions for the GNSO and CCNSO and the ALAC are equally important. So that's where we sit. It's not very clear on the slide at the moment because it's not blown up, but we're there on the ICANN org chart. The next slide, I'm wondering what it's going to say. It's always a surprise with slide backs. Can you click along and see what we've got as slide two? There it is. So we're a 21-member committee. Thank you very much. You have, as the non-commercial constituency, you send a delegate, and that is Maria Farrell, and it's going to be very good to see her. Unfortunately, the 21 members come from throughout the ICANN organization. They're not representatives. They are essentially, once you've sent them to us, they are not your representatives. They're delegates from you, thank you. But they're not going to be responding to your needs and demands and so on. I hope very much that you will help them in outreach. But then, you know, do not think of them as representatives as such. We are an independent committee. We make our own procedures under the bylaws, and we operate under those. Those will be published. We operate under a strict code of conduct, which protects conflicts of interest, particularly confidentiality of candidates. So that's sort of the structure we have. The other position out of the potential members of the committee, which is a position that's going to be laid fallow, as it were, this year, that is empty, is a position that represents organizations of higher education and research. And typically that has been appointed via a mechanism that the board uses. And the board in Brussels decided it would not select that position this year, so it's kind of empty. In a way, that's an empty non-commercial space, I suppose, but that will be a process, I think, over the coming year that you may want to get involved in how to organize that representation of that particular interest group. So what am I here for today, or what is Jacqueline and I here for today, is to back a bit because it's yeah, thank you. To listen to you, I suppose. A couple of things that I'm very interested in: how can we improve the transparency and communication of the NomCom with the community? It is a basically, it's inherently an intransparent process in many ways, but we can tell you better about how we're operating and would like to hear about that. And then particularly your advice on criteria and characteristics of the candidates that we're selecting for. What are the needs of ICANN? Your thoughts on that. That would be important. And then the next slide tells you what our task is for the year. And our task is to select two members of the ICANN board, three members of the at-large, ALAC, and those are region-specific. Those are from Africa, from the Asia-Australia-Pacific region, and Latin America and Caribbean. So if you know good candidates from those regions, help us out. Two members of the generic names supporting organisation, which you're probably quite familiar with. So ideas about candidates for that, and also the characteristics and skills that are needed. Again, we're looking for a general advice. And a member of the CCNSO Council. And then all of those candidates will take their seats at the annual general meeting of October 2011, which will be held somewhere in Africa. And we have a website, which is nomcom.icann.org. At the moment, it's referring to the 2010 process, but will soon be updated. And our hope, because of the compressed timescale this year with the late AGM, we're in December, usually this meeting is October or November, we're a bit short of time for recruiting candidates, and we're going to try to launch the statement of interest next week. So the recruitment process will hopefully launch next week, which gives us a little bit of room before the end of year holidays and so on. So look out for that, and I really hope we get it done so that we can get the documents out for next Wednesday or Thursday. But that's a bit of a challenge, as you can imagine, with this meeting going on. So that's it. Love to hear your ideas and comments. Mike Roberts is here in the room with us, and Mike is a member of the nominating committee this year. Joette is the staff member. Yaovi from Africa, our representative from the ALAC. So keep in touch. Talk to us. And is there more? Oh, Vivek, sorry. I'm going to have to get glasses or better ones. And... yeah, that's about it. So talk to us, please, help. Here to ask for help.
Okay. Thank you. One of the things I did want to point out is that the two members of the council that are, I guess, whether they're up for renewal or whether they're beyond their term limit, I'm not sure, are, if I remember correctly, Olga and Andre. Is that correct? Just so people would know which of the GNSO members was being talked about. Okay. Yeah, and please remember to give your name when you start. We are having transcriptions, and it's better if it doesn't say man said, woman said, although I don't always remember, unless you want it to be anonymous, in which case.
Well, my name is Glenn Reichert, and it's hard enough to spell that it's practically anonymous by itself. The Accountability and Transparency Review Team has made one of its first recommendations, a NOMCOM-style recommendation to take a look at various kinds of qualifications, and I assume to kind of balance that set of qualifications across the set of nominations. And I just wanted to get your perspective on that ATRT recommendation and how you might see implementing it or how you would expect to proceed on that.
At the moment, I'm not sure how the committee for 2011 would be able to implement that. I think what we'll try and do is look at the recommendations as it moves forward and take advice from it. We already have, one of the recommendations is to, well, the recommendations are essentially to define a set of skills and gaps and so on, and then identify those, and then remembering that over the three-year period, because the NOMCOM can't affect that in a single hit, you know, we're selecting two board members. So it's over the three-year period or longer. How do you make sure that the board has all the skills that are being identified? I think at the moment we already try to do that in the sense that we have a document that describes the leadership positions. We come to all of the councils and to the board and say, what are the skill sets that you need each year? So we've already always had something along those lines of identifying the skills each year. And then the candidates can have a look and see how do I match that, and when they're writing their statements of interest, they can address the statements of interest as an application form, essentially. You know, they can address those skills and say, this is how I'm qualified. But what I think the review team is doing is trying to sort of formalize that a little bit more. So we'll continue as normal with a leadership document. We've already prepared most of that. But we'll try and just consider the review team's recommendations as we go ahead. But until they're finalised, we can't really do too much. We're not going to adopt them wholesale right now until community comment is in and the rest. Yeah.
Please come to a microphone. There's people remote, and they won't hear you if you're not at a microphone. And please give your name.
Mike Roberts from the 2010 NOMCOM. The 2010 NOMCOM solicited the same kind of input that Adam just did for 11. And among other things, we were advised fairly broadly, not on any one constituency or another or board member or another, our attention was drawn to gender imbalance on the board. Our attention is also drawn to consideration of the impact of the affirmation of commitment and if you will, the slightly different geopolitical space in which ICANN has been thrust as a result of that agreement. And we were asked to think about the implications of that for the qualities of ICANN directors and also for the SOs. So I just wanted to speak up to say that a substantial amount of talk and interaction went on in that regard this last cycle, and I've been reappointed to the 11 NOMCOM, and I anticipate that we'll have the same kind of dialogue, and in fact, to the extent that the folks in the room right now have comments on either of those issues or any issue, we're here to hear that.
Thank you. Is there another comment? I have one, but I don't want to put it in until I've given other people a chance. Okay, so... Yes.
I wanted to ask a question about... Adam, you mentioned briefly there would possibly be another NOMCOM seat opening up for non-commercial users, something along the line of educational representative or academic... I'm not sure I heard that right. I'm just wondering if you could tell us a little about that.
If you go to the bylaws, there is a delegate that would come from an academic, and I think it says research and development community. And typically, the board has not found an organization that would select that particular delegate. And has, I think, George, you can correct me as someone who's looked at this quite closely. So typically, the board has actually selected that person. In Brussels, they took the decision to not select a person, but to identify a new process of finding the organization that should be selecting that person, i.e., who is the correct body to do that. And I think you'll probably find that there will be an open comment period on that issue coming up. So if you think that it's something that this constituent... I'm taking nothing to do with being a NOMCOM chair, but, you know, just as an observer from ICANN, if you think that this is an issue, this is something that your constituency should be involved with, then join the public comment period as you would on anything else. But keep an eye out for it, because I think there is a public comment coming along. But that's not NOMCOM chair comment. That is just somebody who's involved in this process.
Other comments? Yeah, I'll make my comment, which is somewhat a negative comment, and that's why I wanted to sort of wait. And it may have nothing to do with NOMCOM. The problem is NOMCOM is totally transparent, so I have no idea if it has anything to do with NOMCOM other than believing people who have spoken to me and given me to trust. But from my experience participating in another ICANN NOMCOM-like process this year, I found that I was concerned, and please don't take this as a personal comment about any particular staff member. I found that by having staff be responsible for what was going on in the NOMCOM, it was possible for them, either by acts of commission or omission, to possibly have an effect. And as I say, it may never be the case. In fact, I've been prattling on about this for a while to every NOMCOM chair that I've known and respected, and they've all told me, no, 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 this never, ever happens in the NOMCOM. This could never happen in the NOMCOM. But because of its complete transparency about its process. And I'm not talking about what is said by any individual at any particular time, but because what is said about its process is totally invisible, it's purely trust in the three people I know that tell me it's not the case. And so therefore, if I didn't happen to trust the NomCom chair or the three last NomCom chairs, I would have no way of believing that this might not be the case. And so I don't know what you could say to sort of...
One of the things that I've always thought about the NomCom is that you have a sort of protection by its large size and the very fact that it draws members from the whole community. So I think if there was anything going on that was in any way sort of underhand, I'm addressing a slightly different issue, someone from that very large group would, you know, you're not going to get that size of group, that diversity of group, to agree to any collusion or, you know, misbehavior. I think you have protection in diversity. It's built in, and that's not quite what you were addressing.
An act of omission.
Yeah. Mistakes happen, and so I wouldn't say 100% things are never going to go wrong, because mistakes happen. But again, what we try to do in taking information from candidates is you're always having more than one person checking information. So there's always more than one person, say, looking for a reference that's coming in. So that if I didn't like a candidate, I couldn't just quietly not collect that reference, because there's somebody else in my little team also looking for that reference, and we also have a master database that also says whether or not the reference is there or not. So while you could sort of... Of course, bad things can happen at any time. People can be evil. But we do, I think, have protections there through the number of people, through the processes we have, through the transparency internally of the processes that we have. And I'm confident that, I wouldn't say 100%, because, you know, I can screw up and so could everybody. Like, I can make mistakes. Everybody can make mistakes. But I don't think it would happen.
I guess one question I'd ask is, does NomCom trust email as a 100% reliable way to communicate with people?
No. For example, a reference is a good example, because on your application form, you're asked to give three or four people as a reference. And those people are sent, first of all, they're sent that request by email, and then they reply by email. And I've seen, you know, we know that people have replied because they've told us they've replied, and we've never seen the email. It happens all the time, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, when you've got, say, 80 candidates and four references each, is that 300 plus bits of email? Some are going to go missing. What you do, and what we have always done, is try and chase that email, chase that person. If they haven't submitted a reference, we'll ask them at least once, probably twice. Because actually there's nothing worse than going into a nominating committee meeting, having information about a candidate, and then saying, actually there's not enough information about a candidate. This person looks good, but I really don't have enough information to know if they're really good, you know. And that is the worst situation to be in as a NomCom member. So you do want that information, so we do chase it up. So email is not reliable, we're aware of it.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments from anyone that's here for the NomCom? I don't see any. Would you have any final comments you would like to make?
Support Maria. As I said, she's not a representative, but she will want your help in finding candidates. Advise her. What do you think about the challenges we're facing? Talk to all of us, because we all want to hear. Talk to us as individuals. Talk to us as a constituency. We do have a very strong confidentiality clause, so if you're telling us things that you want to be anonymous, it will be anonymous. If you're recommending candidates, it will be anonymous. We probably don't want you slagging off. I mean, so that's a folklorism. We probably don't want you being very negative about candidates. That's not enormously helpful, but information is always useful. Of course, you may not know who the candidates are, but generally, talk to us. That's what we need. We need information.
Sure. Wendy Seltzer, I just want to follow up briefly on what Mike Roberts mentioned, gender diversity and other forms of diversity. I think the NomCom is in a critical position to help the organization represent itself better to the world. It sends a terrible message that the board has one voting woman member. And I think we need to double, triple, quadruple efforts to reach out to qualified candidates, because, of course, I'm not suggesting that we need to take unqualified candidates or that we need to lower our standards in order to get more women and more diverse participants into the candidate pool. But we need to be reaching into places that we haven't necessarily made outreach to before. And I think, as I've said elsewhere, that sort of lack of gender diversity is just the sort of most visible indicator of lack of diversity. And if we can't even succeed in getting diversity among people who clearly identify themselves as different, and then can we assure that we're getting the range of different viewpoints and participant backgrounds that we need as well?
Yes, George.
I have a question. How many women are on the NOMCOM?
There are now three. There were two appointed by the constituencies, and Jacqueline was my pleasure to invite. And that is
out of how many?
Out of 21. Three out of 21. So the constituencies appointed two, and it's actually an indication of yes, you appointed one, and the other is Vanda Scartazzini from the SSAC. And you know, it is something that the community as a whole, I think, has to be more aware of. I'm sure that people just didn't even think about it. So how do you raise that awareness generally? And this is not the nominating committee per se, is it? This is something to actually talk to the board about. There's a public forum. You know, just say, it's interesting. How many of the... this is a good example. Constituency-wide, why didn't you even think about it? Or couldn't you find them? I mean, who knows?
If you have a follow-up. Go ahead, Rafiq.
Okay, hello. Just to have a question. What are the plan of the NOMCOMs for the outreach? I'm not sure that doing outreach in the ICANN community is something really worthy, because I think many people already know that about the position, and I think the insider will apply anyway. But how the NOMCOM want to go in to outreach in other communities to bring those candidate, and also to ensure more diversity. I'm not sure that, like in a region like Africa, people are aware about ICANN position and how to be involved there. So, and also I do agree with Wendy about gender diversity, but I also want that the NOMCOM ensure more regional diversity. And I don't want to say that I don't want more people from Europe or America, North America, but to ensure more balanced representation in the ICANN board, like for example.
Outreach is primarily the task of the members. You know, we have members from all the regions, particularly the at-large is sends us a delegate from each region, so that is some cover. And it's done through limited resources that the volunteers have of going to meetings when they can, of contacting their networks, of asking people like yourselves to help us. And it's about networking, I suppose. We do have some funds that allow a member to go to, say, a regional meeting. And on the 2010 page, which I don't know, Rafiq, you probably can't see, but it's nomcom.icann.org, you'll see a list of meetings where the 2010 committee attended, and there was one at the African Union, for example. It's not easy because we don't have unlimited funds or time to start sending people around the world to go to meetings just for this type of outreach. But we're thinking, you know, we try and think hard about outreach. We'll do some work in San Francisco, which I know doesn't quite cover the regional diversity you were looking for. I think if you look at the board of directors, they are reasonably diverse. They're not just from North America and Europe. There's three from Africa at the moment, Latin America perhaps is underrepresented. Mm-hmm. Underrepresentative as well. Yeah. So it's really asking for your help, because we have limited resources. We don't have the money to travel around the world or the time to travel around the world to all the meetings that we would like. But the members do their best. So that's essentially it. Jacqueline.
Yeah, one of the things that I would say is, Jacqueline here, hi, is that what the work that the NOMCOM does is for the benefit of ICANN as an organization, for the benefit of all of us. So it's really, really, I think it would be really important for everybody who's involved in ICANN to put a hand and to help in recruiting people. You know, if you see someone, you don't have to talk them into it. You can give us the name and we can go run them down. But if you, as long as you see people, just keep your eyes open all the time. And that's one of the things we want to tell every constituency in ICANN to please do that, because there are 1,500 people at this meeting. If 1,500 people went out and started, you know, kept their eyes open, we would have a great and diverse pool of candidates.
And we'd kill you, because we'd have 1,500 statements of interest to read,
no,
and that would be...
If each of them found one, yes. Yeah. Only one. Maybe they would each find two or three. Wendy, had you had another comment you wanted to make?
I wanted to briefly refer to some of the excellent work that Bill has been spearheading in the GNSO Council in making diversity a key point in our selection of members to, for example, the AOC review teams, and just to thank Bill for the work that he's done there.
Unfortunately, it didn't spill over to their NOMCOM representatives. Not representatives, sorry, appointees. Anyone else wish to comment? In which case, I thank you and the other members of NOMCOM for having come in and come to speak to us. I do know how to speak English. I am sure of it. And I thank you, and I wish you luck in finding the candidates you need.
Please have us back in San Francisco.
Sure. So I already have you on slot, assuming I'm still in this chair.
We would like to come back in San Francisco and continue.
Okay, thank you. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, moving on, Mary, did you want to pass wording by, or did you not want to do that? Should we move on to another topic? Yes, we can. That's it. Have you sent me new wording yet? Okay. For me to do that, I would need to... Okay.
Avril?
Yes, Rafik.
I just want to kind of request, as it's becoming quite late here in Japan, can we move the discussion about the motion related to GIS now?
Sure.
It's a really kind request. Sure. But
okay, thank you. So why don't we move to the GIS now, and that'll give you time to get the language together, and then... Okay. So... The JS. So Rafik, having asked that question, and basically, go ahead, speak to us. Rafik?
Yes. Okay. I'm not sure. I'm not going to read the motion, but...
Oh, no. But why don't you give us basically the latest update on where things are, on what's happening with the amendment that was proposed by Wolf Ulrich. Have you guys rejected it? I mean, have you rejected it? Has he accepted it? And basically give us an update on where things are at with that and what the issues you still see are. I mean, yes, I'm the chair. I'm the co-chair of that group, and I can add stuff, but you're the council representative that's handling it at the moment, so if you would.
Okay, thank you. So about the Wolf amendment in relation to the one dossier in about the foundation and how to manage the auction. I propose it with help of Avery, rewarding for the amendment offered by Wolfric, but it seems that he don't like the rewarding. And then I think I'm going to reject and not accept his amendment as a friendly amendment, and then I think that we are going to have a vote about that. So, I expect more that we can find more compromise and to find some how to satisfy him in that matter. But I think at the end of the day, I'm going to reject the amendment. So.
Okay, and I'm in the process of putting that up for people to look at now, just so they know what amendment you're speaking of. One of the things that Wolf Ulrich did say while this uploading, and I had in a conversation with him, is that he is not actually against the he's not actually against the work being done. He's against the JAS group, the jazz group, doing that work. And as he thinks that there is a pending work item for the GNSO council policy of what happens to any excess funds that come out of auctions. But he thinks that it is a general issue, not a specific JAS issue, though JAS may be part of the solution or whatever. And so he mentioned to me that he was considering, basically, it wouldn't happen at this meeting, obviously, but he was considering that if he succeeded in a motion, to an amending motion to remove Clause C, and C reads currently, establish a framework for consideration, etc. And of course, that was a problem in the motion in the first place, including a possible recommendation for a separate ICANN-originated foundation for managing any auction income beyond costs for future rounds and ongoing assistance. So basically, what he's going to offer is he's going to offer an amendment. He's already offered an amendment to remove C. You proposed a counter amendment, which he does not accept. So basically, and I'm assuming you will not accept his motion as friendly, which is, by the way, friendly motions is something that is very particular to ICANN. But anyway, being that you can't accept it as actually, the Robert's Rules of Orders has a chapter talking about what a laughable idea it is, because once you put a motion on the table, it belongs to the whole committee and not to the people that made the motion anymore. The reason I put that in is because Bill gave me a very quizzical look about why friendly amendments were not a regular part of most organizations functioning. And yes, I confess to having read Robert's Rules. Sort of ashamed of myself for it. But anyway, so basically that he will therefore offer it as an amendment. If the amendment succeeds, then C is removed and the council will then vote on the charter as it stands without it. If the amendment fails, then C stays in. If the amendment succeeds and C is removed, Wolf has talked about basically bringing a motion up for the next GNSO council meeting to establish a working group. And I don't know if it would be a community working group, probably just a GNSO policy working group, to basically look into the issue of what happens with excess funds from auctions. Because it was quite clear in the conversations that we had with staff on the applicant guidebook that, that is a pending item. And staff indicated that yes, it was a pending item, that no, they hadn't decided what to do with it because they were waiting for us all to tell them what to do with it. That was cool. And then basically also indicated that, yes, they would be willing to work with the GNSO on figuring out what to do with the auction proceeds, because there are legal implications. It's not something that the GNSO could do without a certain amount of legal advice on what is legal for this kind of corporation in California. So that's where we're at on that. I don't know if anybody has anything to add to that. I understand that each of the stakeholder groups is discussing the Jazz proposal today. I don't know, you know, what decisions they're coming to in terms of their support for it or not. It has the liability of being a cross-community working group at a time when the GNSO is very concerned about its sovereignty as a SO and not terribly pleased with that. But so anybody wish to comment, add, question, recommend? Are you fine, Rafiq, with proceeding with rejecting the amendment and seeing where it goes?
Yeah, I will send email that matter to reject the amendment. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I don't know, is there anything else that you wanted to get a comment from this group on? I guess not. So anything else? Yes, please.
Not really comment, but if to see with the contracted party, because even we can have a vote in our non-contracted party, it's not sound that we have real support from the contracted party yet, and I'm not sure how we can advocate in that, because it's more easy, I think, for you people there in Cartagena to talk with contracted party councillors than me here in Tokyo.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Yeah, no, I would ask anyone that's got good relationships with people in the registries or registrar stakeholder groups to perhaps talk to them, although I know they're already discussing it today. And especially Jeff has seemed quite strong to have a problem with it, not only because it's got a lot of parts, but because, well, actually it doesn't have that many parts. It's just got, it's a charter. Yeah, but anyhow, Bill.
Somebody who was involved in Jazz centrally, perhaps Madame here, could you give me a rundown of who from our various private sector counterparts was involved in the Jazz and might be amenable to supporting its continuing activity consistent with this? I mean, who should we be working with, and do we have a sort of sense of how the vote might go, how things might line up, aside from if C disappears, would it go through? Is it going to get canned in any event? What's your assessment? Because I don't really have a feel for it.
I'm actually also not sure what's happening in the contracted parties. I have a belief that the ISPs on the non-contracted side, if C comes out, but even if C comes in, they might approve it anyhow. I really don't know. There was not a lot of registry and registrar participation in the group. It was a joint group. There was a lot of ALAC, and there was a smattering of people on the commercial stakeholder. There was, for a while, Eric Bruner-Williams, who was a registrar at the time, but now he's ALAC, so that's not going to make a difference. But there wasn't a strong registry or registrar component to the group. Yes, Rafiq.
There is another one from registrar, Michele.
He participated a lot at the beginning, but then he drifted off of late, and I really don't know what his view is, though he didn't object to our report. So, yes, I don't know to what level he'll still support the work being done. But you're right, Michele Nalan was a member of the group. I don't know of anybody from the registries. Can you think of anyone from the
registries?
Yeah, no.
Nobody.
And
but also, if, just wondering because there was some comments about the foundation by taking from CHE folks, but I'm sure that it, they are the same like what Wolf wanted that to remove any motion mentioned to the to the foundation and that in the motion, and I think that Jeff Newman agreed with them that matter. So,
yeah, I believe that there's a stronger chance that the rest of the motion will pass with C gone. Now, it might be reasonable, therefore, to sort of say, well, then we should accept it as a friendly, and of course that's up to Bill and Rafiq because it is your motion, but I know that the working group doesn't accept removing it. I know also that the ALAC did vote it in. However, ALAC has pretty much told me that they will probably go along with any changes the GNSO makes, but they do have to review them. One of their major concerns with the changes that the GNSO made is the amendment that was already accepted as friendly, that this could not delay the start of the application period, because to ALAC, this is an important thing that should be there at the beginning of the application period. But I know that NCSG's position on that is they should travel in parallel, as far as I've been able to tell, and that this shouldn't delay. So, and I believe that eventually ALAC would accept that too if the charter was accepted. Though that's not in there. Yes, Bill.
Also, let's... You know, I have a feeling we're going to take a bath this time. the last meeting, a number of our motions went through over opposition, and looks like we've got several here that could go down in flames. Which so it's going to be an interesting time. If we don't take C out and it goes down, then where are we?
Then we have a charter that doesn't include C. In other words, my assumption is that the amendment to remove C will succeed. Almost no one from the council wants C there. Mm-hmm. So, except for the... Yes?
Yeah, the discussion that I've had with people is that it's the specificity around the foundation that is making people nervous. So is it possible to leave C as establishing a framework in for managing it, take out the possible recommendation about the foundation, but leave in, so it's a framework for managing any auction income beyond costs.
I tend to believe that while the foundation is what people are zeroing on, they do believe also that the first part, the managing any surplus monies from the auctions, is also a wider concern than just jazz. And so establishing a framework for those funds. Oh, I should probably go back to the slide so you can look at its wording. Sorry. Where am I? Too far. Because it's specifically the auction income. And lots of people have designs on that auction income is the issue.
It just seems to me that there could be other ways of assessing the fact that you've made, you know, X amount of dollars from the auction, which could possibly allow you to construct a discount in certain cases without having to wash it through a foundation, or a reduced fee. There's other ways within an accounting system to say, look, we've got this surplus income. How can we use that in our overall system to provide outcomes here?
No, I understand that. What I'm trying to say is, even if you totally remove the notion of the foundation, there are people that have other designs on the auction monies.
So then what if we rewrote it to specify for managing any auction income that is allocated to this specific purpose. In other words, to say that it's a framework that only deals with whatever bit of income.
I mean,
this purpose.
See if you could work it out with Wolf. I don't believe he'd accept that in lieu of his motion. Therefore, his motion will go through as a vote motion to be voted on. So you could certainly try to negotiate new wording with Wolf.
There's no point in us putting forward
an effort. Don't think there's any effort in... I think Wolf wants this out of there, and he wants a different working group to concentrate on auction funds and what to do with them. So I don't believe... I mean, I could be wrong, obviously, but I don't believe that the chances... And I believe that Wolf supports... the jazz going forward, he would just prefer to see C out of there. And so I would almost recommend just letting this ride at the moment, let it lose. I mean, vote for it, please, or not, but just let it drop.
So we vote for it. We vote against the amendment to strike this, and then there's a second vote, and you think on that point we can...
I think at that point, C would probably have fallen out.
Right.
And then you'd have a motion for jazz, and then I think there's
a
chance.
You think that will pass?
I think it'll at least pass in this House. I do not know, like I said before. I really do not know. But I think fighting on C at the moment just lessens the chances, to be honest. Though I would obviously like to see it pass as the co-chair of the group that suggested it. Yes.
Could I have just one more go at this?
Of course.
If we took C and reworded it to actually make it the hook for a working group looking at the technicalities of various means of managing the money, including perhaps a foundation, would that give us the outcome?
I think the question... I mean, certainly, you know, if C, if Wolf... I mean, it's for Wolf to decide at this point whether anything you propose is good enough for him to drop his motion. Basically, I think the question you would still get from people like Jeff and Wolf is, well, why is this group doing it? Don't they already have enough to do? Why is this in this group as opposed to a separate group? I think that's the question they would still ask.
Yeah, I was actually heading in the direction of a separate group.
Right.
Because I think that's a huge piece of work.
And I think that therefore doesn't need to be there. I think that if you and Wolf perhaps craft a motion that can be put on the table for the next meeting on that work, then you'll probably have it. But that's, I mean, just sort of... was there another hand on this side that I missed? As I say, as speaking with the hat of the co-chair of the group, I'd love to see that in, but I really don't believe it has a chance of passing with that in at this point. I'm not even sure if taking it out at this point is enough, but anybody else on this one? Is there anything more? Rafiq, are you okay with where we're at? I know it's late where you're at.
Just to comment, I'm not sure that if we move the working on the foundation to other working group, it's a good idea, because I honestly think that they want to kill any work about a possible ICANN foundation, and then they just try first to remove it from the tasks of this working group, and then maybe not working at all about the idea of ICANN foundation. And about the auction, it sounds really an issue for many people there. So we may suggest that we can recommend something about how to manage the auction income, but in addition to other possibilities that maybe the community want to see in the management of those auction income, but... really, I'm a little bit pessimistic about the foundation and also the management of the auction. It sounds that we have a real opposition, and even they are removed. We have also to deal with ALAC, so as a the working group is a joint working group between Genetsu and ALAC, and then it just it will complicate things. And when the counselor, some counselor wants that there is no delay, there will be delay if we keep doing that.
Okay, yeah, I think you're probably right, and I think those of us that want to see this foundation started for various reasons will have to get active in other ways to try and see it happen. It's been discussed now on and off for over 2 years. It's been discussed ever since the policy of there possibly being auctions was discussed. The first time auctions came out, it was basically linked if, well, we could possibly live with auctions as well as the money gets a good purpose. And that's why we've got the footnote in the AG that we do, but, you know, we haven't been able to move beyond that since then. So this was one way, this was one attempt, and yeah, that's still an open issue, you're right. And other than the fact that I always think there's a pony in the room, so I'm always optimistic, I'll tell you the joke about the pony in the room later. It's not one for the recording. But just imagine what kind of room you might hope that there's a pony.
I'm lost.
Anyway. Anyway.
I said the ponies are in the plaza, Avi.
The ponies are in the plaza. Okay, that was but anyhow, now you know where to find the pony. I'm always optimistic, even when there's every reason in the world to be pessimistic. So, you know, keep trying. So when you're up to the neck in whatever, there's still probably...
Avery, I just say a little bit pessimistic. I didn't say pessimistic, so...
Oh, okay, thank you, Rafiq. So between your only little bit pessimistic and my perpetual optimism, except for when I lose it for an hour or two. Yes?
I just I forgot to ask, what was the final resolution of the issue with regard to Rafiq's participation? Because I thought...
Rafiq has said that he will dial in at 3 or 4
right,
o'clock in the morning.
Right, but I thought that when you said that, Chuck replied something to the
yeah,
effect that...
But
yeah,
we have rescinded
the...
You
sorted
basically,
it out with him?
I talked to Rafiq. Rafiq said he wants to show up. He doesn't want us to do another proxy set up, and therefore Rafiq will be there.
There's no Kenbar rules for how we have to manage the reestablishment of a virtual participant?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
We don't have to...
But he'd let us know if we did, because he's also on the... Okay. The chat there, so I'm
okay.
Sure if we had an issue.
Okay, so we were not violating any protocols.
I don't believe so.
We don't need to fill out a form or...
There is actually no form for rescinding the request, so that's why I was sort of at a loss, because without a form, I didn't know what to do. Okay, so have we finished on this one? Rafiq, we done? We know where we're at?
Yes.
Yes. Rosemary's not done.
Just to summarize, I will send email to Wolf saying that I reject his amendment. So, but if someone wants to, maybe Rosemary send rewording before, just to give some room for compromise. But otherwise, I will send him an email to say that I am rejecting his amendment. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. Certainly that you can't accept it because, you know, the working group and we've talked to people and the ALAC, you can't accept it, certainly. And I Rosemary is putting up her hand saying, no, she's not going to offer another alternative. Though I would recommend you talk to Wolf about how to move on with the foundation stuff later because that's the next step. Okay, so that one done? In which case have you sent me... So we'll move back now quickly to the PPSC OSC language, and you said you were sending me language. You did. I'll look now. Even newer language. Okay, so I assume you haven't changed... So we're back to the PPSC and the OSC. Policy and Procedure Steering Group and the Organizational Steering Group. I actually forget what the O and the PP stand for. Resolve, the Council acknowledges and thanks the OSC, the PPSC, and the five community work teams for for their hard work and directs each steering committee and applicable work team chair to identify for the council any remaining targets and benchmarks for their respective work by no later than 19 January 2011. With a view towards final delivery to the council of any remaining work items so identified by no later than the San Francisco meeting. The OSC and PPSC charters are hereby extended for this sole purpose and period. Further resolved, the council shall have the response... Why am I reading from far away when I can read it close? Resolved further, the council shall have the responsibility of reviewing the remaining work items. In this regard, the council may request the assistance of a standing committee whose objective shall be to monitor the expeditious and coordinated implementation of all GNSO improvements recommended by the OSC, PPSC, and community working teams. Further resolved, regardless of whether any outstanding work items remain, such standing committee shall be established no later than the conclusion of the San Francisco meeting. Works for me. Okay. Okay, so does anybody have any comments or that? And does anybody have any comments on the... on the remote? I don't see any. Okay, so no one objects, no one has an issue with Mary sending that? Cool, then that one's... Yes, Mary?
And I should add that I'm still not sure if this will pass, but I think it has a higher chance than the original wording.
Because it gives them their extension, but it says it's one last time. And it curtails them taking new work. Good luck. Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Because what I really think, though, what this truly achieves, even if this one doesn't get through, is that come San Francisco, it'll be really hard to do yet another continuing motion on these two steering committees, and that's... right. Okay, in which case, we move to the next item. Anybody remote have anything to say on this one? No? Okay, I'll remove that. Look at the agenda again. Oops. I have no idea where my mouse is there. Okay, so the next thing is we've finished the jazz. We've got VI termination. That should be a quick one. Or is it?
Very quick.
Very quick. So I guess there's a motion. I'm not sure who made the motion. I forget. Was it Stefan? To basically put the VI group out of its misery. It's basically one of the few examples of a PDP ending without even doing a final report. It actually came up as an interesting discussion in another context, talking about... And this was actually in the PDP group. It's been used as an example. This is one of the few times that a PDP was approved before its charter was approved. And it's basically being seen as an example that if you can't do your charter that sort of says, this is what we're going to work on, at the same time that you're approving the policy development process, then there might be a problem. Because what happens is you approve the PDP, and then all of a sudden, now what are we going to do? So you're already committed to doing something, but you can't quite know what. Bill?
I just thought I'd point out that some counselors from other stakeholder groups were not amused that we said last time that we needed more time on this one. And should somebody decide to make a comment and inquire whether NCSG is now ready, Rafiq, since you're the one who piped up to say that we needed more time because you had feelings about other things, you might be prepared to respond to that question. It's just a suggestion.
Well, there's actually only one automatic delay in your practices. I've never seen somebody do it twice.
Right, but if they feel like dragging us over the coals for what they consider to be bad behavior, it's worth being prepared for it.
I would ignore it.
That's possible too.
Yes, Mary. Yes, Rafiq. Go ahead, Rafiq.
I need to make comment during the open meeting about that?
I don't think so. But if somebody presents you with the opportunity to...
Just because team, I think, deferred, and I'm not accepting him to explain about the delay for the open meeting. So why I need to explain? I think that we have the right to delay for further investigation of the motion.
Okay, thanks. I had Mary and then Wendy.
I actually wanted to go back very briefly to the OSC PPSC motion and ask a question.
Then let me let Wendy carry on with this theme.
I just wanted to say to Rafiq, I think it's entirely appropriate for you to respond. The rules permit us to request delay, and you have no obligation to explain yourself.
And we're not giving you grief over when you've asked for delay, so... Right. Okay. Thanks. Anything else on this one? Is anyone against them voting to terminate VI? I didn't think there was, but I figured I would ask the question. Okay. Yes. Right. Yes. It didn't actually, no one, I think, of the other groups picked up on it. But anyway. Okay, so we're done with VI. Mary, going back to PPSC, OSC, do I need to put up the thingy again?
No, it was a quick procedural question. Actually, it was more for you, so I beg the indulgence of the group. But you know what? It's a consultation that we need to do. If it would make it easier to pass if I, you know, Wendy and I withdrew our motion and proposed this new language as a friendly amendment to Chuck's original motion, what do you all think?
I would float the idea to Chuck.
Well, and the reason I raise it is because...
If you guys are willing, I would float it to
Chuck. ...is because I'm going to send it first to Chuck and Jeff to see if that makes them happy. If they say okay, and I say we're happy to withdraw our motion, and if you accept this as a friendly amendment to yours before sending it to council.
I think that's a great way to go. And then there's only one motion to be voted on.
Is that okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a comment? Any of the other councillors want to... You don't care.
Where's the text at this point?
Okay, I'll put it back up. That's the text that Mary is proposing. I don't think she's sent it out far and wide yet. And so Chuck has a motion that just sort of says, we renew them for 3 months. And then, whether it was Mary or Wendy that started it, put out a motion that said, we kill them. And then the killing motion got amended to say, well, we kill them slowly.
Softly.
Softly.
They're soft.
And now our killing them softly motion has really turned into a extend them with conditions motion.
But where is that text? That's what I'm.
But that the text is there of the extend them.
On the right?
No, on the right.
Okay, I can't read that.
That was the stuff I just read out.
Mary, could you just email it to me?
Yeah.
You want me to email it to you before emailing it to them, or?
I don't know. I can't read.
It was this text that I just read out like about 10 minutes ago. Sorry.
Yeah, and the idea is that rather than have this as like the 10,000th amendment to an amendment that would have to be voted on together with the original motion anyway, let's just take away our first amendment and support this as an amendment to Chuck's original motion so that we only vote on one motion and not two alternates.
I just wanted to see.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that is a clean way to do it. If Chuck accepts it, Chuck and Jeff, is Jeff the seconder of the motion? So I would include Stefan as the seconder in the motion, perhaps as well as Jeff, or instead of Jeff, that's up to you. But I would include both the maker and the seconder of the motion, and then anybody else who has weighed into it with issues. Okay. Should we wait until you received it, Bill? course, we've come back to it twice already. We could come back to it again if we need to. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. As a counselor, do what you need to do. Okay. So now going back to the agenda, we move to the next item before the group, which is the Joint DNS Stability and Security Analysis Working Group, which I've paid precious little attention to. I don't know other than Rafiq who has. I know the only large issue that I've heard of with that is this is one of those groups that does have a, I guess it's got some closed meeting, and the members of the group do have to sign a non-disclosure about the working group. Now, whenever there's stability and security analysis, there's basically an argument that says if we're talking about making new ways on how to protect security and stability, and we tell everybody what we're going to do, then we don't make things stable. My view on it is always wrong because I'm always a maximalist about transparency, so I always am wrong in respect to this. So, but other than that, I don't know who's following this, who's willing to speak on it. I know Rafiq was paying some attention. I don't know if he's still online. Yes, please.
Glenn Reichert, so I've been paying some attention to this. I think the issue was that given the number of changes that are being made in the Internet all at the same time, transition from IPv4 to V6, the introduction of DNSSEC, which causes much larger records to be traveling around, the potential introduction of many more records into the root and the implication on the root DNS servers, all of those things happening at the same time, is that something that could be the recipe for disaster? And I think that the answer that the committee has come up with is that it could be, but if we spread these things out and do them sequentially, and it takes ICANN some time before they make their delegations, and they don't put all 1,000 into the root on the same week and so forth, that we think it's probably okay, but we should watch carefully as these things unfold, because it may not be any one of them, but it might be the combination of them that causes difficulties.
Thank you. Wendy, was that a hand? Yeah. Huh?
Defer.
Don't know if there's anyone else wish to speak on this. So I assume this is joint with ESSEC. I haven't even read the motion. I assume this is joint with ESSEC, is the who. Are there any, has anybody in the council brought up any of those cross-community concerns regarding this one that they have generally in terms of GNSO sovereignty?
I have not heard it said.
Okay.
It seems that those concerns only apply to the kinds of issues we're more concerned with.
Okay. Interesting. Yes.
If we've come to the end of this one, I wanted to identify another motion that was not in your list here.
Oh, okay.
Well, might as well give that to me now, while people are thinking if anyone else has a comment they wish to make here. Yes?
That's the motion to approve recommendations in the final report on the registrar accreditation agreement amendments. Oh. Which is one that I think we should have serious discussion about.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that is that there are issues that we care about. Oh, certainly that I care about. Okay, thanks. So anything else on this one? I assume then that there's no issues about voting for it or against it that anyone wants to present on this one, that by and large people seem to be either indifferent or in favor of voting for it. As I say, not that we have party discipline, but just if there was a difference of opinion, it'd be worth talking out. Okay. Now there's the Rec 6 motion. Rec 6 motion. Who wants to speak to that one?
Weren't we just going to do, did she just say let's do RAA?
No, she just said I had to add it to the list. We could do RAA first.
Oh. Well,
but
I had the impression she wanted
Did you want to do RA? No, you just wanted to make sure. It was kind of like a point of order, get this on the agenda so that we don't forget about it. They have those in Robert's Rules of Order, too.
Get your copy, Bill.
Okay. So we're going to jump to RAA. Well, we're going to wait because Wendy will come back. But we'll start on the RAA, but I'm not sure who wants to start talking about it. So the motion that's on the table, I should probably find the motion so that we can show it. I've got that. I can do it. I assume that all these motions are on the web page.
That one, yes.
Right. Okay.
Rec 6 is that.
It's changed.
But I mean, they never put it up, which I don't understand.
Because
the challenge is to whether the time.
You guys are talking off the mic, but anyway. Okay, so there was the VI motion. Not that anybody can read it at the moment. But all these motions can be found on the, and I'll put this in the room. Okay, so we've moved on to the RAA because then we'll come back to 6. Okay. So there's motion to approve recommendations in the final report of. Now let me see if I can't make this bigger. Zoom. No, I always get that backwards. Zoom out versus zoom in. You'd think I'd be able to tell the difference. So make the screen big enough. Okay. So I don't know that we care about the... Anybody can pull it up on their own screen, but we don't really care too much about the whereases. A lot of... So where do we want to start, Wendy, talking about this? I suppose the first resolved is fine. That's the customary, we appreciate all the hard work. Then the second is accepting the work and approving the form of the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter as described in Annex D. Is that a place where we have an issue? Isn't that... Does that include the participation issues?
No, that's process A,
okay. Any issues with resolve? The GNSO Council recommends the staff commence the consultation process with registrars in the RAA to finalize the Registrant's Rights and Responsibilities Charter for posting on the websites of registrars specified. I assume there's any issues with that either then? That they start the consultation on that, or is there? Recommends that the staff commence the consultation process with registrars.
Do we think that there's something that's ready to be consulted with registrars solely? Is that?
Well, are they consulting in terms of the approval of them, or are they consulting in terms of how they are posted and shown on websites? And I thought it was the latter. Now, there may be an issue there for the user community also, that it isn't only the registrars that should deal with how these things are posted to the community, but it's the users and registrants as well. And that's certainly a reasonable argument to make. Is that what you'd be referring to, Wendy?
Among other things, I...
Okay. Yes, Mary.
And those of you who've been following this more closely than I have might know better. My impression was that where the charter was concerned, that was really, there were two things, the form of the charter and what happened to it. And what happened to it is what you said, is posting on the website. So I don't know that I can go back and look at the report, but I don't know that at this point it behooves us any to be making a fuss about this specific issue.
Yeah, I'm not sure what would be achieved. I don't know. Wendy? Anyone else have a comment on how we feel about that particular issue?
I acknowledge I haven't been following all of the ins and outs of this process, but it seems odd for the staff to be consulting with only one stakeholder group in finalizing something that has come out of a council working group.
Yeah. If I'm understanding this as an implementation detail, that it is the staff and the registrars that have to implement, I guess, even though I normally, you know, for example, in A, I'm very strongly adamant on they got to include us. I can see that if we're arguing usability, certainly, and that those things be posted in a way that all registrants would be aware of and would understand going beyond a register. So I think it's probably worth mentioning, but I don't know.
Does someone have a pointer to what this charter is, for example?
I think that was the simple statement. And what they did in B was basically go through the registrants' rights that are contained in the current, because I was actually in that one, in the current RAA and other agreements, and basically put in a form that was understandable to the non-contract reader, to basically the normal registrant and user, put those things in an understandable language, and that those things would be posted by all registrars in a way that would be accessible to all registrants and users, because basically the rights and responsibilities, and it is always spoken of as the rights and responsibilities of the registrant and such, were, you know, you had to go read the RAA to figure out what they were, and not that many people went to read the RAA to find out what they were. So basically this was basically a decision that those things should be listed in human language and that they needed to be posted and displayed. So that's that part of, this was part of the two-part RAA agreement. RAA. Yeah.
Last time ICANN produced something to be understood in human language, it was then not understandable by lawyers or understandable by lawyers as a mischaracterization of the underlying
document. I think
document.
The language has already been approved. I mean, has already been worked through. I believe that that's in the report, that the language itself was discussed and reviewed and went out for comment and so on. So I think that that part was done, I believe.
Am I missing something entirely? I'm trying to find it in the document in front of me.
And that's not the aspirational guide we're talking about. That's the other, right?
Was this work team A or B?
This was B.
Okay. I think there's, in the initial report, maybe there's a final report, there was an appendix with a draft charter. I wasn't on the group, so I don't
right.
know. So I know that there was a form, and I'm trying to find it right now.
Yeah. Rosemary said it was page 37, or?
Yeah, I'm reading it from a document final, which I downloaded, so I haven't got
right.
the link. Final report on proposals for improvements to the registrar's accreditation agreement, and it's Appendix D, page 37. My understanding of what it does is it pulls out clauses from the accreditation agreement that relate to registrants' rights and responsibilities, does not change the language as
oh,
far
I
as
see.
I can see, because it's not particularly user-friendly.
I see.
But any change to the language would open up a whole
right.
other discussion, which is not to say, in my view, that perhaps at some stage we ought not come back to needing a plain English kind of points 1 to 10 consumer rights, a registrants' rights charter kind of document. But this is 7 or 8 pages extracting language from the agreement, putting it into one spot. So maybe it's a worthwhile first step, I think, but not the end of it.
But we're
okay with that resolved clause.
Wendy? Well, no, since you're one of the ones that has to vote on it.
You want to? Oh.
Isn't it linked in the motion?
Yeah.
Usually they are. I put the page in the
special text page.
Right. I put the URL in the chat. Yeah.
All right.
Not in the motion.
Yeah, I'm looking for the link. I don't see it in here either. Or is it in the the agenda? Is the link in the agenda? Let me open up the agenda.
Oh, yeah, the link will be in.
So council workspace. It's elections. Applicant.
Why don't you just Google final report on proposal?
Joint.
Can I say
final
something
report?
While
if you go
looking?
To the agenda, if you go to the agenda item 6, there's her overview slides. There's the motion. And then there's an announcement, and I bet you the announcement takes us to a proposed set of... Yeah, and then it takes you to another page, you know, when typical... Chase it. Whose hand... Mary.
There was a public comment period on the initial report. No, hold on. There was a public comment period. We did not comment at that time. And the form was attached for public comment at that time. I find it very awkward for us to be raising the charter when we did not comment during the public comment period. Not that we can't do it, but it's something that, you know, I'd rather support what Rosemary is saying, that we can always come back. You know, there's the aspirational work and other things. So that's my concern with the charter issue.
Okay. Anything further on that point? Then we get to... Right, and that's the one we have made comments on periodically throughout the process, and therefore they would not be new comments. Further resolved, the GNSO Council recommends that the staff adopt the process specified as Process A in the final report to develop a new form of RAA with respect to high and medium priority topics described in the final report. Process A states, 1, prioritized list of topics goes to GNSO Council. Staff and council review may filter out topics that fall under consensus policy. So when I was, this is the first part, is take that apart and say, which of these fall under the consensus policy that actually changes ongoing contract? Then there'll be the rest of them that are things that would change future contract but would not actually change any ongoing contract. So they'll separate them into those two piles. Is that a hand or just a stretch? Yes, okay.
So this is where I get to my substantive disagreement with the work that this group did. I think that many of the changes, amendments proposed are not things that we should support. And some of them come into policy areas. But I don't think that long list of resolves is a package
is
that we
problem,
want to support.
Right. Okay. Now, this was also, there is one problem with that long list of items, is that's a group that we did not participate in. I was on it, I was on its mailing list passively, and I got involved at the end to talk about the issue of it being only the registrars involved in the negotiation, but we did not participate in making the list. And I expect that on that list, we probably have a variance of opinion within this group on which things we support and which things we don't. Just, I am sure if that we go through that list, we will find that some people in this group do support some of the items that the other members of the group don't support. And so I'm not sure that we would find consensus on the list of topics.
Happily, I think the registrars will oppose so much of this anyhow that our yay or nay is not going to be the deciding factor.
Right. And often I get the impression from talking to the registrars that my attempt to try and get more community participation in this is seen as a problem because that would bring more IPC participation into this. And sometimes I'm not sure that they wish I would just stop trying to make this more community participation because that brings in, but then again, I believe that you got to get everybody to participate to get to a reasonable solution. So,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I always have you been taking the temperature of people, registrars, etc., on how you see this unfolding? If so, could you convey that?
No, I have not.
Okay, but you think that the registrars are not going to support this?
What
you said?
If I can comment on that, I think often the registrars tend to take a perspective on these things in terms of how technically difficult is it to implement, how expensive it is it to implement, how does the implement affect the bottom line. Each one of these things, I believe, would require extra work on the part of the registrars. So by and large, I think there's often a tendency to shy away from that.
Okay, I'm sorry to be clueless. I thought that they played a central role in shaping this and that they had pretty much established ownership of the process and turned it to their direction. So if that's the case, for them to then oppose it would be surprising to me. So
creating the list of items was a very open process. It's one we didn't participate in much. I do believe that there were a lot of people from ALAC that participated in it, not us. And I believe there were a lot of people from IPC and business who participated in it. We just didn't. We're in the process of talking about the RAA thing at the moment, but seeing that you're here, I'll afterwards bring it back to your proposal so we can talk to you a little bit about that. There was a long list of things. The law enforcement people came in and gave a laundry list of things that they thought needed to be there, and various other groups produced essentially a laundry list, and then they went through a process of deciding which one of these were high priority, which one of these were medium priority, which ones were low, through some sort of process. As I said, we did not participate at all, and I was on the list, and it was only when I was alerted at the end that, you know, you guys might not be terribly happy about what's going on here that I started paying attention. But by then, the list was created, and that was when I brought up my issues having to do with the negotiations with the registrars and that excluding anyone but registrars and such. So the list is the list, and I don't think we can change the list at this point. Yes, Mary.
So my question is, and I know I should know the answer to this, and this is Mary. If this report is approved by the council, does it then go out for public comment again? Because the initial report went out for public comment. It doesn't seem to me that it does.
I don't think it does.
It goes right to implementation.
It goes
by
to the council doing its dividing, and then negotiations begin. Yeah. No, it does. I don't believe it does go out to... further comment.
Which would
And we didn't
be,
comment either.
Well, then that so goes back to my earlier point that we didn't comment. A lot of these things didn't change from the initial report to the final report, as I recall,
mm-hmm.
and I'm
yeah.
happy to be correct on it because
right.
it's been a while and I'm
yep.
confusing the two. So we didn't comment initial period, number one. But number two, I'm not sure. So if we vote against it and the registrars vote against it, then we have to start all over again with another working group to review amendments to the RAA. Would that not be correct? It's not open to the council to approve only parts of the report.
Or maybe it is. I don't know. I don't believe it is. Certainly as this motion is crafted, it's certainly not. Could you craft a motion that accepted parts A and B but not C and D? Certainly. You know, but that is not what this motion does.
Right, and I really don't want to draft any more motions today.
probably too late anyway.
It's probably too late. So I'm wondering if one way to do this, if we're going to vote it down, is to somehow maybe informally talk to the rest of the council about doing a motion for January that doesn't do a sort of blanket black and white, we like it, we hate it thing.
As you could possibly take the Jeff Newman position on it and saying, you know, this motion has both A and B in it, you know, and don't want voting on A to necessarily affect the acceptance of B. And so is this the first week that this is on for a vote?
I believe so, but I'll check.
So basically, so you have the availability of the splitting the motion option.
Do we want to just ask for more time?
Well, that's and you could ask for more time in terms of wanting to split the motion.
That's what I was going to say. I would not want to ask for more time on the motion proper because I don't want to use that tactic for this one. I want to save it if we're going to use it again for something else. But I think if we're going to ask for more time, we should probably say we're happy splitting the motion. We're ready to vote on one part, but for the other part, we will need more time to think about it and maybe think about ways to achieve consensus across the stakeholder groups, would be my preference.
Isn't all this splitting motion stuff, I mean, if we start lending weight to that trajectory, that could apply to some other areas too.
And if it will help, the registries will not vote for our amendment to the PPSC motion. They will go with Chuck's. Email just came in.
Okay. I tend to think splitting motions is an okay thing to do. I tend to think you need to vote to split a motion, but then I think it's an okay to do if people want to do it. Just personal view. But, so, yes, Rosemary.
I'm, to be honest, not clear why we're not happy with this motion. My understanding, and this hasn't been my top priority, but my understanding is the addition of the observer in the negotiating process was a major give on the registrar group side. And then if we follow this process through, then we get down to six is when we get a final draft of the new RAA.
And then that goes for approval.
And a public comment process. So I'm happy. I mean, I just really want to understand what the core of our objection at the moment is to this motion.
I can tell you what mine is, but mine is different from some of the others. Mine is that... Hi. Oh, okay. Did you come in for you came in for a specific discussion or?
No, just to listen.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. See,
him.
I saw you walking with a suit, and all of a sudden I saw.
No, don't worry.
Formality.
He insists on the suit.
And all of a sudden, I thought it was an official visit of some sort. And I forgot. And what did I forget to schedule? Okay, yes, Mary. We're talking about the RAA at the moment.
Very quick interjection. It is not the first time it's come up. It came out on the 18th of November.
Okay, so it's
not for a vote, for discussion. This is the first time it's come up for a vote.
So it could be delayed. As I say, getting to my issue on this one is not with the list of things. It's with the rest of the community being mere observers as opposed to participants. And but, you know, at this point, you're not going to win that one. Right. So that would be my if I had a vote, I would vote against it for that reason. But that's beside the point.
I'm just let's play that through. I mean, this is a concern that we've all raised. If that's significant enough for us to oppose this, and if the registrars actually do oppose it, the thing could go down. And could we not then come back and try to fix that?
Certainly. Well, first of all, I don't have the impression that you would have the agreement of all the council members on that. But certainly, if some of you want to object to the language that says, and certain observers representing the interest of, and ask for something more specific or ask for something greater, that is an option. Yes.
So, like Avery had an objection to the certain observers issue, and I don't actually want to fight that one because I agree we will lose it. One of the things that I've tried to talk to a couple of people about is how do they see this playing out? Because there's nothing in the report that addresses how those observers would be chosen, by whom, and at what date. So there is a possibility of talking about timing and process. My expectation is there's going to be a huge slugfest that's going to come back before the council anyway, which is why my preference would be to either split the motion and say we can vote for at least I don't want to speak for all the other five. I'm happy to vote okay on the first part of the motion with the charter and stuff, and split off and delay the second part pending discussion of the process by which those observers will be selected.
And I mean, and I think as always, all of the council members will, you know, vote on this. So I think you should all express what different concerns you've got with it and, you know, your suggestions for how to deal with it. And then you can decide to push it off for another week or, you know, another meeting, or you can vote on it. And I have no idea. I have not gone around gauging how it goes. Is there anything more useful that we can say on this one at this point? Yes?
Just to take Mary's point, could we vote for the motion but flag, and I'm not sure how we do it procedurally, that we want to do more work on that certain observers bit of it?
Once you voted for it, why would they work with you on it?
So you have to get them to agree to split the motion first.
Or to delay it to work on that language.
I guess our choices are either vote for the entire thing, deny the entire thing, or if they agree to split the motion, vote on them as two separate motions.
Or if you decide to delay it because you want to discuss further the language in two.
Which, personally speaking, I would be prepared to do, but only after a discussion of the split motion fails.
Right. Yes, Wendy.
And just for the group's information, my substantive reasons for objecting to many of the list of topics are adverse impacts on privacy from additional verification requirements, additional compliance duties on the providers of proxy and privacy services, and other intermeddling with relationships between registrars and users that I don't think is appropriate for ICANN.
Okay. Thank you. So you'll probably say that, too, during the meeting, I would expect. Yes, please.
I'm sorry. I'd like to hear more from Wendy. Sorry, are you saying that if this is approved, all those dimensions, they're made worse, and that is countervailing enough to whatever benefits might be obtained in terms of the general establishment of the charter, et cetera, that it's just, is that a clear, is it a clear net negative in your view then?
What benefits do you see?
Well, simply establishing that there should be this registrant. I mean, splitting the stuff out, making it more visible, etc. Isn't that something that we wanted to do?
If that doesn't create new obligations anywhere, it's not clear to me that that has a benefit.
Could we hear from some of the
people who
elect people that were involved in this directly?
Do we have them here?
About the RA? We came at it from a slightly different viewpoint. Essentially, it was myself and Bo, and then later Bo alone, almost swamped in a room with other parties, contracted parties. So when you say ALAC was involved, it wasn't substantially much more than you were, if only because we were really seriously outgunned at that. Our hope takeaway from that was essentially issues of registrant rights. And so that took two forms, one of which is we were able to force the creation of a document that enumerated the rights that existed in the current document. We took the position that that was okay as a snapshot, but it certainly wasn't enough. And so we wanted to start to make an assertive document of what registrants' rights should be and that ICANN should be enforcing. That was immediately dubbed the Aspirational Charter of Rights by the RIA, shoved off to a corner, and then later on said, well, ALAC, if you want to do something about it, go ahead. We then later found out, though, that there were other constituencies that were interested in this, and I was more surprised than anyone to find out that the concept of the registrant's rights has found itself into the ICANN strategic plan. So although our issues, we're not dealing with this at quite the same level and quite the same focus as you are here, that's been our takeaway and our interest from this, is that our hope is that whatever happens in the future with the RAA, we want to work to a situation where there's an almost constitutional document of a registrant bill of rights that no ICANN policy or regulation will be able to circumvent. This is a very high-level thing. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fast, but we're quite determined on it, and this was the start of it.
Right. So do you think that that objective, long-term, is advanced by establishing this piece here, or should we block things and try and go back? That's what I'm trying to get
at. Actually, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive, that the conversation on this really isn't germane to the long-term objective of establishing registrant rights or having ICANN demand that ICANN recognize registrant rights as they will apply to things.
Do you have an opinion on whether, I mean, because this group's going back and forth on whether this is something they support approving or not, and do you guys have an opinion?
ALAC did not make an opinion on the substantive components of the RAA. We went in with an objective. It was resolved in a certain way. I would have liked it to have been resolved better, but then to expect contracted parties to buy into a registrant rights thing may have been a bit much to ask. But our focus wasn't the same as yours, and I'm sort of walking in a little bit uninformed with the ability to say, to offer an opinion, because we didn't take one ourselves, and our focus in that whole deliberation was very different.
Thank you. So, yes, Rosemary, you have your light on. You must say something. I'm sorry I didn't see your hand.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I've just been mulling over what to say. I think disconnecting the registrant's rights and responsibilities and sort of having it out there in the ether as a kind of separate topic from this is a dangerous thing to do. I think this process gives that weight and currency that it wouldn't have if it was just our topic and ours collectively to be kind of picked up at some stage with some process. It's linked, in my view here, to a mainstream process that is of interest to other parts of ICANN. So it's got a bit of momentum around it, is one thing. The second thing for me is when I look through proposed process A, and I've now had a look at the priority topics that are of concern to Wendy, and certainly you know, kind of everything's up for grabs. There's no doubt about that. Then it comes down to me, are we better to just block this and do nothing and stay where we are? Or are we better to use this process A of participating, observing, and I don't know what that means because there's nothing more in the document about what that means. And the various, there's a couple of periods of public comment on, so negotiating groups report and make text available for public comment, and that goes around and round as many times as it's needed, and then we get a draft of the new agreement, and then there's public comment again. So that's, it's just what I'm thinking at the moment, Avril.
Thanks. I want to bring in a sort of almost a point of order, even though chairs don't do that, is we passed our 12:30 to break for lunch. However, and we come back at 2 when we have a visit from what we have. Oh, yes, we have the GNSO toolkit implementation with Mr. Hogarth coming in to speak to us. But we also have Evan in the room at the moment, and we've been talking about his issue. And I also don't know what it does in terms of taking breaks with you guys that were expecting us to take a break and us running over. So I don't... You'll figure it. So I don't need to take. So what I'm asking people is, since we've got Evan in the room, since we did have a discussion on the discuss list of an idea, now we had basically said we were going to talk about this later. When did we put it? We put it down with the 1430 support of ALAC statement on the that. That's okay. I didn't get in touch with you. You said Skype me when it's time, and I didn't. But you're here now, so is it okay to basically give Evan a bit of time to speak on it, and then we'll catch lunch in an hour's worth of lunch? Is that okay?
You and I have a meeting in 10 minutes.
What meeting do we have in 10 minutes?
Wolfgang et al.
Oh, I already told him I'd probably miss it. Okay.
Besides, Wolfgang's right now in ALAC talking up the non-com.
Okay.
Is there a way to put our wiki page, the wiki
sure.
page up on the screen?
Sure.
This is the best way to deal with it to those of you
okay,
that
yeah,
haven't
you
seen
sent
it
to
yet.
Me, so let me find it, and I will put it up, and I will tell the people on Adobe where to go find it. Yes. You can start talking while I'm editing
okay.
that.
For those of you who have not been following it, ALAC took very seriously a lot of issues specific in the DAG. As you know, we've been as active as you have been on issues such as the CWG and the REC 6 issues, and as well as the joint applicant support issues and things like that. So basically, there is an immense feeling of frustration within ALAC of having banged our head against the wall multiple times, not getting listened to, and in fact, seeing in certain areas, such as the independence of the independent objector, taking a step backwards. So we've actually come in sync with your position, in fact, that the IO should be abolished. And to that effect, came out with a statement that, there we go, you'll notice up until a half hour ago that said draft ALAC statement. As of a half hour ago, that is now unanimously endorsed by ALAC.
You also moved where it was in the web pages.
Well, that's because the web page
anymore.
Changed from
right.
draft to final. Wikis tend to do that kind of thing on you. So essentially, I don't know if the history matters. I was asked to draft a statement. As time went on and community involvement put more and more wording in, to my surprise, rather than the wording trying to get softer and more diplomatic, the wording that came in from the community was actually colder and harder as we went along. So this was actually a surprise to me, but it's very difficult to be equivocal about the statement that we're making. There's a real long laundry list of problems that we have with the applicant guidebook. We chose in this statement to focus on three things that we consider to be deal breakers. This is by far not an exhaustive list, but rather than make a whole white paper on our problems, we decided to keep the document short, to the point, and focus on the three things that mattered to us the most. And those were the whole quagmire, black hole, absolute tar pit of the dispute resolution system currently proposed, the I.O., as well as the application support issue. So without going in extreme detail, because I know you guys have gone through these things in probably as much agony as we have, I'll just call your attention to the concluding paragraph and let you make your own comment on basically the way we came to this. From the sounds of it, based on my conversations with Avery, your position is slightly different from ours, but as far as we're concerned, we may not be able to stop the locomotive that's been put in front of us in this sort of level of brinksmanship, but we have an obligation to our community to say that the document as it exists is against the public good, and we have used those words quote-unquote. It's very difficult to be more direct than that.
We've been discussing this on the discuss list. I'll give the mic over to Wendy in a second. We've been discussing this on the discuss list, and by and large, I don't think I've found anyone on the discuss list at this point disagreeing with the points you make. The only place where I think we found a certain difference of opinion is on stopping the locomotive. And basically taking a perspective that says more, they should fix these things now, as opposed to don't start applications until. So we've been discussing, but haven't finished discussing, the notion of putting out a support statement that says we support the substance, but still want things to start way soon.
And the only thing I would say to that is my gut reaction is it's kind of contradictory to say we have these deal breakers, but go ahead anyway. And I'll just leave it at
right,
that.
Okay. Wendy, and then I don't know who else wanted to comment. And then Debbie. Okay, so Wendy and then Debbie.
So as the primary proponent of these aren't deal breakers, they're terrible things, but the guidebook is likely to get worse rather than better if these things are corrected and other things that other groups believe need correcting are corrected, I would prefer to see things go forward now and clean up bits and pieces than to see the entire process halted.
Debbie?
Hi, I'm Debbie Hughes from American Red Cross, and I can tell you that we are going to be discussing this with the proponents of the new constituency later this evening, and initial feedback that we've got is that we would support your comment. We've submitted comments to the same tone, and our membership is looking to see whether or not if NCSG is not able to support it, that whether or not the proposed not-for-profit organizations could support. And so the initial indications are that we would, and that we agree that we would not want this process to move forward while there's still flaws. We don't want to figure it out as we go, and we thank you for your comment.
Okay. I would just point to the sort of notwithstanding first sentence of that last paragraph. ALAC has always believed that having as many GTLDs as possible is a good thing for consumer choice. We want it. If anything, we'd want to lower the barriers to entry. It's why we're involved in the JAS. And so it's absolutely painful, and I don't know how well we brought this across, to come to the conclusion that no, this is too bad to stop because we want to end the monopoly controls that exist as much as anyone.
Great. Thank you. What I'd like to recommend is a couple things. First of all, we'll be getting back to this later, and I'm suggesting that perhaps we get a statement drafted that we can review a little later. Evan, I would actually recommend that you talk to Debbie and Amber and maybe arrange to go into their meeting. There's absolutely no reason why we couldn't have two statements, one from the NCSG that says we support the substance but still want a solution that allows things to move ahead, and for the MPOC incoming constituency to have a separate view that says we not only support the substance but we support the conclusion, and to have both of those statements made is totally. But I also think with a discussion pending, you're looking at me funny again. We also have a discussion pending this afternoon that, you know, that where we try to get to a common statement that we can all agree to. The point is that constituencies and stakeholder groups can put out separate statements. If the constituency gets to a consensus point that's only 75% of what a constituency is willing to say, there's no reasons why it can't be said, you know, both of them can't be said.
Why not just do it as NCUC and MPOC?
Well, is NCUC supporting the whole? See, NCUC is not supporting, as far as I can tell, is supporting the whole idea of the substance, but not supporting the halt to applications.
Right.
Whereas MPOC...
You said NCSG before, not
right, NCUC. MPOC is... Oh, so you're saying just NCUC put out one statement and and MPOC put out another.
As opposed to certainly, NCSG and MPOC.
Certainly that's a way. It's just that if there were consensus, you know, if there were consensus in the room except for, you know, then you, that's certainly one way to go, and we could talk about that this afternoon when we talk about statements. Yes, give your name, please, especially since it's never been heard, Des.
Okay, Desiree Milosevic. So just a question of clarification for these two separate statements that may come out, the NCSG and the MPOC. Which one, would there be a vote on MPOC, or which would have a bigger weight?
Right. Yeah.
Hi, let me clarify. So the not-for-profit organization's constituency that's in the process of being formed has already sent comments on the applicant guidebook. What we were thinking about doing, separate and apart from whether or not the NCSG is able to come up with its a comment that it wanted to present, or if the NCUC was going to, since we may think that we're aligned with a lot of what's in there, that we were going to also issue our support as a group, a formation group, to lend support to ALAC's position. So whether or not the NCUC wants to support all of theirs, we still are still considering whether or not we would like to support their comment.
Right. And though, you know, where the NCSG is pretty much accepting, you know, the MPOC being here and being participatory with the NCSG, it isn't actually formally a part yet. So in terms of NCSG building a consensus, we should take it into account, but it wouldn't necessarily change the consensus one way or another. So I want to say that it's 1 o'clock. That leaves us an hour for lunch. I think what I would suggest is people use lunch that want to put together the support statements so that we can review it when we come back at 2:30 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to ask if there were any questions at all about the ALAC statement, because it is deliberately brief, to the point, and misses a lot of the detail that's underlying what went into it. It's sort of, well, if you want to know the details, ask us, because we figured that anything longer than a page or two was going to get redacted anyway, so we wanted to make sure that what we put was small enough so it would pass unadulterated into the flow of things. So if anybody's got a question on detail or background to this, now's the time.
Yeah, as I said, I saw on the discussions we had on the discuss list, there was almost no one that had any doubt, question, or disagreement with the substance except for that one issue. So I don't know if anybody does have a question. Yes.
No, I don't have a question. I just wanted to sort of repeat what you said, that we've been in violent agreement with you guys on most of these issues. All of the substance of these issues is just, like Avery says, it's just a question of do we want them to find a solution and go forward. So we're really in violent agreement.
Except for that. Okay, in which case, I'm going to call the lunch break until 2. We've got an hour. You are good, but at least it wasn't an official visit. Right. So, and afterwards, you're going to be chairing for Mr. Hogarth, because I have to go speak to Afralo African for the 2 to 3 spot. So I'll be able to come back. So we're not going to do our slides either.
I'll leave it to them, but I don't think it's going to be that formal.
Okay, good. So I'll bring the slides on a stick because I should leave my computer. Since, actually, I don't have to. I don't know. Okay, we'll go to lunch. On break. I guess we're on break, so I guess we stop recording for the moment. And, well, there's... I don't know that you can eat out of here in an hour. There's that place at the bottom selling sandwiches of some sort or other.
Actually, there is a very nice place, and since we've got till 2 o'clock, I'm happy to go with anybody that wants. There's a place that has a wonderful lunch. It's 7,000 pesos, and it's a full meal, soup, meat, drinks for 7,000.
And you ate there yesterday?